This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In 2016, about 15,000 people were killed by gun violence in the U.S. About 3,000 teenagers were either injured or killed. Here in Charleston, there were 11 murders in 2016. 8 of them occurred on the west side of town, and many of them were teens. Trey Kay, host of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Us and Them podcast, has been working on a series of reports focusing on Charleston's west side. His first installment focuses on Deanna McKinney, a Charleston resident who has become an advocate against gun violence and a leader for improving the quality of life for kids on the west side. She was inspired to act after her teenage son, Tymel, was murdered on her porch back in 2014. This morning, we're featuring a portion of the Us and Them report. Here's Kay, Trey.
Deanna lives in a two-story brick house with a little yard. It's on the corner of a quiet block. And as I walk up to the door, I noticed a dime-sized hole in one of the window frames on her front porch. It's a bullet hole from the night when her son was murdered. Deanna took me up to her son Tymel's room.
This is Tymel's room?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. What's it make you think of?
Me screaming at him all the time to clean up. Or him laying down, sleeping. He's a hard sleeper. So when I walk in here, I think about those moments. Waking him up for school or to do something, take out the garbage or something, you know. But he stayed in his room and he stayed on that porch. Those are his two favorite spots.
Tymel was a football player in a club league in Charleston. I spoke with his coach and he told me that Tymel wasn't just good. He was a phenomenal athlete. He helped the team recapture the league championship.
Yep, that's his jersey. That's what he won that game in. His number was 24.
There are pictures of Tymel all over the house. In one, he's around 10, and he has cornrows and a goofy smile, and he's posing with his mom.
You know, those pictures right here.
In a more recent photo, he's in a bright turquoise and gray plaid shirt, sporting a flat-billed baseball cap. It's a sunny day, and he stares into the camera. It's one of those teenage looks, where he narrows his eyes and bites his lip a little bit, trying to look serious. Maybe a shade of that look that Robert De Niro gives in Taxi Driver when he says, "You talking to me?"
Well, yeah, that's his ashes right there.
Where is that?
Right here.
Tell me about that.
Oh, just every day, a reminder. That's why I got it there. So every day, no matter what's going on, like lately, it's just been really, really stressful with my family. So, you know, I don't know if anybody ever felt like, you know, sometimes you're happy somebody's not here. And, you know, it's getting to that point to where, like, I'm happy my son is not here for a lot of stuff that's going on.
What, like what?
Just family stuff, you know, just my family, we a good family, you know, but we have so much pain from when we was younger, you know, my mother having all of us, you know, all of us got different fathers, there's 6 of us on my mother's side. So, you know, we grew up together, but we grew up really, really bad, like hungry, homeless, you know, in the streets.
Deanna's originally from New York. She grew up in Harlem. She and her sisters were passed from one relative to the next.
Sleeping on newspaper, on the floor, in the projects of my aunt house, because my mother would leave us there for weeks or months at a time.
They were physically and sexually abused by relatives, abandoned, and then reclaimed by their mother. Deanna's childhood was full of heartache and violence. At 18, she got pregnant, and she moved in with the father of the baby. He was a drug dealer. He sold crack cocaine and was in and out of jail. Once Deanna had Tymel, she was looking around at where she was living, and she didn't want to be there anymore.
When I realized that I was dealing with a drug dealer, that's not what I wanted, but that's how I ate. That's how I had somewhere to stay. So I didn't knock it, but I knew that that's not a life that I wanted, especially for my kid. You know what I'm saying? So I left.
She was getting tired of living cramped in the city and scared of what might happen with her drug-dealing boyfriend. But it was really after the terrorist attacks on September 11th, Deanna says, that the city felt inhospitable and cold. Her stepmom had moved to Charleston, West Virginia, and she said that the city felt calm and family-oriented, and the rent was cheap. So Deanna came down to Charleston, scoped the place out, and determined that it was a good place to raise her son, and so she made the move. She didn't want Timel's childhood to be anything like her own. When they arrived in Charleston, they lived in a housing project, but eventually rented a small house. Timel showed talent for drawing, and he wrote hip-hop lyrics.
He was the only child, so he didn't have no problem playing by himself, being to himself. So that's what I think got into the writing and the drawing and stuff like that, because it was just him. I wasn't the type of parent to let him spend a night out at people's houses and stuff like that. So, you know, I always kept him close to me because of the things I went through as a little kid. And I didn't want him to go through anything and I wasn't there to protect him or, you know, to know what was happening with him.
Timel was a good athlete, but he struggled to get to school on time and pass his classes. He was a junior in high school when his daughter Amari was born. Now that he was a father, a counselor from school recommended that Timel get his GED. So he transferred to a nearby career center to work on it and to get a job. It wasn't what Deanna wanted for her son. He was only 18, but she let him make that decision for himself. I asked Deanna to tell me about the day in April 2014 when Timel was shot.
Yeah, we were just out here having a good day that day. You know, my house always been that house where everybody come to. So we all out here having fun, playing. And Timel always used to, you know, because he's a man, he's strong. He's always like, oh, mommy, I can take you. So we out here and he thinking he could take me. So I had to show him, yeah, you think you could take me, but I'm your mother. And God's going to give me the strength to lay you out. And he didn't believe me. And sure enough, we out here tussling and everything, and I got him down. So that was just like the highlight of our day because I actually showed him what it was. Now it's getting dark. He's been out there all day just sitting on the porch. So he comes in. He had asked me if I wanted pizza. I guess he had ordered some pizza or whatever. So I'm like, no, bro, I want no pizza or whatever. So he go back outside. So then he comes in and he asks for a cigarette. He gets a cigarette. Back outside. Next thing you know, I'm sitting here, and then you just hear pop, 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 pop. But it comes through the window. I hit the floor. I'm on the floor, so I'm waiting for it to stop. Once it stopped, I opened up the door, but it was so much smoke, I couldn't see nothing at first. It was just real smoky. And then, like, I'm blinking, because I'm trying to see through the smoke. I don't know, maybe after the third or fourth blink, I'm looking, and I see him on the ground. Like I said, I'm still in shock, so I'm looking around, whatever, and I just grab my car keys, and I jump in my car, and I'm rushing, you know, to the hospital. And then I go to CMC hospital, whatever, and then I was just there, and I just kept asking them, you know, is he okay? Is he okay? Is he okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, they wasn't telling me nothing. You know what I'm saying? But I'm asking, is he okay? And they're like, he's okay. But once she came and said the doctor wanted to see me, I knew it wasn't okay. So that's when they told me that he didn't make it. So that was that night. Only thing I knew was, like, it was a new world. I knew that everything looked different. Everybody looked different. The smell is different. Everything is different. Nothing was the same when I left the hospital. I know that. I came here looking for something better, you know? So to come here and to experience something like that, I should have lost my damn mind.
Timel bled to death. One bullet punctured a main artery. The guy who fired the 17 shots, DJ Carter, he was from the West Side, just like Timel. They'd even played on the same championship football team together. I've got at least one thing in common with Deanna. I've only got one son. He's nearly the same age as Deanna's son, Timel. I was devastated when he fell and banged his head on steps and had a serious concussion. I can't imagine what it would have been like to see him shot and bleeding on my front porch. I don't know what I'd do in that moment or how I would function in the days, weeks, and months and years that followed. I would want someone to hurt in the way that I was hurting. I would want an outlet for my pain. But in the courtroom when Tymel's killer was sentenced, Deanna asked the judge to have mercy on him. In her statement, she focused on the community and said it's our fault because we're supposed to teach them and guide them.
We've been listening to part of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Us and Them podcast episode, Deanna Tymel and Amari. This episode is part of an Us and Them podcast series that focuses on Charleston's West Side and has been made possible with financial assistance from the West Virginia Humanities Council, a state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. To hear the full episode, visit the show's website at usandthempodcast.com or at wvpublic.org. A total solar eclipse will cross North America next month for the first time in nearly a century. And Hopkinsville, Kentucky will be ground zero as day turns to night. The rural town nestled in western Kentucky will offer the longest opportunity to view the eclipse in the entire world. From Kentucky station WKYU, Lisa Autry reports on how the small town has big expectations.
And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Every first Saturday in May, Kentucky is home to the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. On August 21st, the state will be home to the most exciting 2 minutes in astronomy, 2 minutes and 40 seconds to be exact. Hopkinsville will be the epicenter of the first total solar eclipse to sweep across the U.S. in 99 years. For a town of just over 30,000 people, it's a really big deal. Dubbed Eclipseville, at least 50,000 visitors from around the globe are expected to descend on Hopkinsville. Local parks will become campsites. The National Guard will mobilize for crowd control. Schools will close. Jonelle Edwards has lived in Hopkinsville since 1953 and has never seen her hometown this excited about anything.
People from overseas coming. I think everything's going to be crowded. It's only going to last a few minutes, but everybody's coming to see it.
Astronomers estimate this will be the most viewed solar eclipse in history. Hopkinsville will have the longest eclipse duration, 2 minutes and 40 seconds. The city has received reservations from 34 states and 12 countries. Justin Whitehair manages a Comfort Suites in Hopkinsville.
We've been getting calls and inquiries since 2012, so prior to our booking windows even being open.
Comfort Suite Hopkinsville, Stephanie speaking, may I help you? Absolutely, we have rooms available for the solar eclipse. What day would you actually be looking to check in?
Hotel rooms in Hopkinsville are going for $300 to $800 per night. The eclipse will no doubt be a boon for local businesses.
This room is our barrel storage room and our bottling room. So that's where we keep all of our spirits that have been bottled, that are ready to be shipped out.
At Casey Jones Distillery, co-owner Peg Hayes has developed a 100-proof solar eclipse moonshine.
We like to say that, you know, when you get total eclipse moonshine, you can actually taste the total solar eclipse. You can also have a partial eclipse or a total eclipse anytime you want to. So it's a good spirit. It's a really true, authentic moonshine.
The distillery will open its 50-acre property for camping and RV parking. There'll be music, food trucks, even a barber on site offering eclipse haircuts. Hayes refers to it all as eclipse stock. Across town, a local diner is commemorating the eclipse. Charlie Powell owns Holiday Burgers.
We've added a new menu item called the Eclipse Burger, which is our 5-ounce burger with an egg on top. So it kind of looks like a sunrise with a round circle around it. So that's our contribution to the eclipse.
According to local legend, on August 21st, 1955, a Hopkinsville family reported seeing a UFO land on their farm and aliens emerging from it. Few believe, but the family was so scared afterwards, they sold the farm and moved away. Every year, the town holds a Little Green Men Festival. Cheryl Cook heads the local convention and visitors bureau.
I like to say that the aliens came early to pick out their viewing spot.
Cosmic coincidence or not, on the same date more than 60 years later, the once-in-a-lifetime total solar eclipse is putting Hopkinsville, Kentucky on the map. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry.
Mm-hmm. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.